All right, looking at Ephesians chapter 2, I'll look here and starting at verse 8, he says, "For grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast, or any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, I read that out of this Amplified translation, gave us another degree of meaning. "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God has predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life," say good life, "which he has prearranged and made ready for us to live." All right. The good life. So we're talking here now. We're talking on training for reigning. And we've made a little headway. This is good stuff, folks. This training for reigning, we're talking about this because we've been in churches, if you've been anything like me, and you know, I've been in BTU and YPWW, and you know, various things. But I wasn't reigning. And something's wrong with that picture. Because I always knew, even when I was a young boy, that there was more to me than meets the eye. My wife thought so. That's why she married me. But that's what I'm saying. But anyway, and but I always knew that, and last time we got off to some things having to do with potential. And potential is a very, very dangerous subject to teach because it provokes folk. Sometimes it'll provoke even people who don't think much of themselves. And this teaching on potential does that. It's powerful. And so this kind of is talking about that because it's talking about we were recreated. And what we did, we went back to Adam and found out how he was created. We talked a little bit about that Adam functioned in the glory of God. He didn't have any clothes on and didn't need any because he had the covering of the glory. And that Adam was supernatural. He didn't function naturally. Adam had a sight that he could see, not only normal sight, but insight. He not only could see what we could see temporally or physically, a three-dimensional, but he went to that fourth dimension. He could see on out there. He was made in the image of God. His spirit was dominant over his flesh. And just the opposite happened when mankind sinned. He sinned, and now his flesh got dominant over his spirit, and he functioned basically by seeing through the veil of the curse. And so now God has restored man through Jesus. He came, and Jesus began to show people how Adam actually functioned. Over in John chapter 7, the religious leaders were saying, they were kind of confused. They said, "Now, how does this man have all this knowledge and he's never gone to our schools?" I'm translating now. He's never gone. I don't understand that. Now, understand, Jesus was the Bible calls him in the Gospels, only begotten Son of God. Have you heard that before? All right. But after the Gospels, they never call him that. They never call him that. He is not called that. He's called the firstborn. One place calls him the firstborn of many brethren. Another place calls him the firstborn, in Hebrews, firstborn of the church. Now, why are they calling him firstborn? Must be somebody else born. Doesn't first indicate there's a second somewhere in the world? Okay. All right. So basically, this, what Jesus was born of and from, is the same thing that we were born of and from, that we have in us the same thing he has in him. Got it? But he is preeminent. He is the head. See? He's the one that's first. So we call him Lord. But he is Lord of lords. We call him King. But he is King, come on, of kings. So now he said, the things that I do, shall you do also. Watch this. And greater works you're going to do, because I'm going to the Father. Amen. Now understand, Jesus offered his disciples comfort. Now it was so powerful. He said, upon this rock I'll build my what? Church. And the gates of hell shall not do what? Amen. Prevail against it. So the gates of hell will not stop the power of the church. Amen. So we talk about empowerment. We talk about, you know, empowerment. You know, we're going to be able to get our own business or something. That's natural empowerment. That's not spiritual empowerment. Empowerment for the believers coming out of Acts 1:8. You shall receive power, miracle working ability. That's empowerment. Amen. Okay. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But Jesus went back to the Father, sent the Holy Ghost, and now the church was born on the day of Pentecost. And now here's the Holy Ghost on the church, working with the church, in the church, and causing miracle or supernatural lifestyle to take place. Now, what is that lifestyle? He was making it so that they could live like they were already in heaven. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11, please. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Talking about training for reigning. Deuteronomy chapter 11, look at verse 18. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when you rise up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates, that your days may be what? Multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to give them, as the days of what?
Heaven.
As what?
Heaven.
Heaven upon the earth. Now Jesus preached this, and he said, pray this way, Abba Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where?
On earth. As it is in heaven.
He said, in earth as it is in heaven. Now, that first earth is you. And as that reality of heaven comes in you, then you are to plant the heavens in the earth. Isaiah 51. So now here, as I go into an area, I am supposed to take the kingdom of God and transform that area into kingdom living. Are you with me? Now, this is a long ways from denominationalism. Because denominationalism won't let you do that. This is kingdom, where I am an ambassador, a representative from the king to bring his laws, his principles, his culture in to a foreign land. I'm supposed to take it. I'm supposed to make everything that's out of line with heaven come back into divine alignment. Now, notice, he didn't have but 12. Then he ended up at the upper room. How many got filled with the Holy Ghost? How many? Y'all remember? 100 and how many? 20. That's all he had. But notice what you see in the book of Acts. The man said, was quoted as saying this, those that turning the world upside down are come here. He wasn't happy about it. He was sad about it. He didn't need but a few. Because that's the power that was coming through these people. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm saying one of the things that the enemy tries to do is he tries to keep us from knowing this kind of power and this kind of ability is operating in the church. For you to go unto a new, into your inheritance and take that which is yours, God has given you, it comes in proportion to your new identity. So what am I saying? I'm saying that what has happened is God's people have been born again, but haven't been trained for reigning. Now, when I say that, I mean this. I mean the standards of this world. See? And there are standards out here. And there are standards of this world. And we have been trained in those standards. But once you come into the family of God, then now you have a whole different standard by which you are not only measured, but by which you are able to live in this society. Now, this standard will distinguish you. It's something totally different. Because now I have eternal life. And I'm going back to the garden and I can live like I'm already in heaven. The Bible says in Revelation, there's no crying there. I don't have to cry anymore. Come on now. If you talk about peace, Jesus said, my peace I'm going to give to you. Not that the world gives you, because they don't have no peace. Joy, joy, joy. I'm talking about joy all over heaven. I can be full of joy all the time now. I don't need to be up one day, down the next day, and so forth. Come on, talking about how bad it is and so forth. Oh, it's good where I am. Where am I? I'm in heaven, right here on this earth. Now, this is a standard, see, because there's no sickness there. So I have a right to not be sick another day in my life. Say that with me. I will never be sick another day in my life. Come on now. See, we sing about heaven, talk about it, so forth and so on, but we can have it right here. See, Jesus said, pray this way, thy kingdom come, come on, thy will be done, come on earth as it is in heaven. You say, well, this don't look like heaven to me. Well, make it that way. Make it that way. Let them see your life and let them see how good heaven is. Let them see how good your God is. Say amen to that. I was looking at television. I was looking at something. I think I was looking at a tennis program. And they had a commercial and advertised some acne medicine. You got a bump or zit or whatever y'all call it. Put it on your face. And you just put that little dab on there before you go to bed at night. And they said you can wake up in the morning and it's gone. A little dab will do you, I guess. Okay, now, turn to Proverbs chapter 4, please. Proverbs chapter 4. And let me know when you get there by saying, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ears to my sayings, and let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Now, that word health there translates in the Hebrew what? Anybody know? Medicine. In my Bible, it says medicine. So the word of God can be medicine for you. Come on now. And you can take it and won't, you can't overdose. Jesus said in John 6:63, my words, they are spirit and they are life. So now what have we been done? What has done? We were in a fallen system. And thank God that God gave us somewhere to live in a way that we can make it through this time. Because if he didn't, I don't know what would have happened to us. But I'm saying that all the knowledge came from God. Lord have mercy. Stay with me now. Turn to Jude. Jude is just before the book of Revelation, if you want to find it. Jude. Jude. Let me know when you get to Jude. All right, look at Jude and look at verse 24. We said in funerals sometimes, now unto him that is able to keep you from what? Falling. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding what? Joy. To the only wise God, underline only. Only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. So where did our knowledge of chemistry come from?
God.
Came from God. He's the only wise God. He gave you that. Thank God for it. Trying to save some lives. But what I'm telling you is the word of God is also medicine. But we hadn't been trained for the word of God. We've been trained for acne medicine. No, are you following what I'm saying? Now listen, I'm not trying to make anybody feel condemned about the acne medicine. You take what you think you need to take. But there's another level that if you want to reign, this is the level that you need to go and aspire to get up to.
Yes.
Are you following what I'm saying? That there is another place up here that we could go. And God wants us to go there. Say amen to this. Now, so who gives the knowledge? God gave the knowledge. But you can have knowledge too. Turn to Daniel chapter 1 now. I talked about this the last time. Training for reigning. Daniel chapter 1. Are you with me? I talked about verse 17. I said, for these four children, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God gave them what? Knowledge and what? Skill and what? All learning and what? Wisdom. And Daniel, he had understanding in all visions and dreams. So God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning. Now, how was that knowledge? Look at verse 20. And in all matters of what? Wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them how much? 10 times better now than all the magicians, astrologers, so forth and so on. But here's God, and God now is giving them more knowledge than the PhDs, than the lecturers, than the doctors, than the philosophers, than the architects, than the mathematicians, than the chemists, than the physicists, everything. Didn't make any difference. So the same God that gave them that level of knowledge is the same God now that is giving you a higher level of knowledge. You got what I'm saying? But yours has to be received by faith. Glory to God. You got to believe that God is endowing you and He is making it so that you will have 10 times more the knowledge than folks who are naturally in this world, because that knowledge that they have is not going to be good enough to take this earth back or to make it so that people can survive and make it through the times that may be coming. Say amen to this. God is giving you more knowledge 10 times better than the most educated folks that are in this earth. And it is an anointing that is coming on you for your performance to exceed any performance in the natural, secular, molecular world that you live in. You are just gonna know things, not because you have experienced them, but because you receive them. Say amen to that. Yeah. Boy, I got a flash there right there. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Now, we talked about potential and what potential is. Now, we said that potential is basically hidden abilities. It is hidden ability. It is something that is built in, that is inside of you, and it's determined by the one who created you, and that a demand must be placed on it if it's to be released and be manifested in this earth. Now, it reminds me of a time when I'm young guy, and in high school or college, whatever it was, and a guy had an automobile, and that automobile was looked like an old automobile, but he had all you had to do was listen to it and look up under the hood. And up under the hood, he was running out there about 500 horses. Y'all know what I mean by horsepower. And I mean, it would blah, blah, blah. I mean, he was speaking in tongues, blah, 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 blah. I said, man. But it didn't look like that on the outside. So it was very deceptive. And when I was young, in high school, we had little drag races. We had a little place out there that we'd go and bet some money. You know, come on, I'm saved now. But bet some money, and we'd have a little drag race, you know. But he'd come out there with that car not looking like it was much anything. Blah, 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 blah. Come up to the line, put the money on the line, and he'd take a, whoa! So, whoa! See, he done faked everybody out. I'm saying, you coming in there in your old suit, you know, and they don't really know who you are or what's up under the hood, but you speaking in tongues. Are you following what I'm saying? You building up your spiritual power, because you might have to go to war here before you get out of that job today. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying it's in you, but a demand has to be placed on it. And you have to place that demand on it. Now, God, the Holy Ghost's job is to train us. His job is to work within you to be able to guide you into places where you can express or expose that potential that is on inside of you. Are you following what I'm saying? But you can do it yourself. You can place a demand on your own potential. One of the things that people try to do is they try to stay real close to the shoreline. They try not to ever get involved in anything that is going to take a challenge, or they're going to have to use something on the inside. I'm just saying, Give your ability a chance. Expect more from yourself than the things that are easily reached in your life. I mean, place a demand on that. Be faithful over your potential. And the limits of your potential are in God. They cannot even be measured by a natural man. So God wants you to exhaust that potential that's in your life so that people will know who not only you are, but they'll know who your God is. Say amen to that. Jesus got a handful of people and changed regions at a time by the power of the Holy Ghost working through them. So, your potential is in there, and expect more from yourself than what perhaps you have done in the past, because it's in there and it's in there to be used, and God wants you to be a good steward over it. Now, we want to live the life that God originally designed for us to live. Now, the world has standards by which they live, but understand, you cannot be measured at the same standard, because you are on a higher plane and you are on a higher level than people are in this world. Say amen to that. So all of a sudden, when you have situations where you had the 12 spies, they came back from Canaan. You know, there's several things I want to do, and I want to really beat this clock today. Let's go to Luke, if you will, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Amen. I said amen. Praise God. Amen. All right. God deals with you on the level of the eternal. Okay? He deals with you according to his plan for your life. Okay? Now, the enemy, where did I tell you to turn? Move forward. All right. The enemy tries to magnify your weaknesses. So that you will not get into your potential. He tries to keep your focus in the wrong direction. Are you with me? Now, he doesn't have any power now. I mean, no real power. Because if he had real power, he'd just kill you. But what he tries to do with us is he tries to keep us in darkness. We call it ignorance. And Hosea said it like this: my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Don't have any light. And when light comes in, darkness has to go. And that's why the enemy can keep failure in people's lives, fear in people's lives, so forth like that, because the darkness is there. Now, we must be aware that this entire system around us, including the experiences that we have on a daily basis and our environment, are set up to keep us at that low level of existence and not let us get up into the divine plan of God, up into that eternal reality. And the enemy tries, of course, to do things, and I think I've shared this with you before. He tried to make you think that he is fighting against God. God is Lucifer's creator. For the creator to fight his creation would be demeaning. The creation is no match for its creator. God takes a human and puts him in the world, or her, and gives them faith to deal with the devil. Are you with me? And Jesus said he's going to sit there at the right hand of the Father until what? Until his enemies be made his what? His footstool. Hebrews 1, chapter verse 13. He's going to sit there. So our job is to put Satan underfoot. Now, as we manifest heaven, the light of God comes in, and no longer can the enemy accentuate your weaknesses, but you now will be used as a sign and a wonder that the world will see that there is a greater reality than the one they're living in. Now, again, I don't know whether I spoke it in this particular session, but empowerment, we use that term, empower. And it's a loosely used term. But let's use it according to the kingdom. Because in, Lord have mercy, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, ye shall receive what? Power. That power is miracle working ability. Over in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, 8, he said, not by might nor by power, not by natural strength, but by my what? Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, we're talking about potential now because I want to get into something. George Washington Carver. He was a scientist, a black man in Tuskegee. He joined Booker T. Washington, and he was a scientist there. And he lived from 1864 to 1943. He revolutionized the economy of the South by introducing hundreds of uses of the peanut, soybean, pecan, and sweet potato in the place of cotton, which at that time cotton was on the decline because slavery was over and nobody to pick it. And the whole South was going into an economic drought. These crops also were going to be used to replenish the soil in the South. So in those years that he was there, Vice President Calvin Coolidge came to see him. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was the president, came to see him. Now, he became the confidant and advisor to leaders and scientists all over the world. This black man down there in Tuskegee during that time, 1900s. And he also met with people like, confidant to people like Thomas Edison and Mahatma Gandhi. Edison offered him a position with six figures, which was huge during that time. And many times, Henry Ford tried to get him to join him in Dearborn, Michigan, Ford Motor. Why? Because he had learned how to make rubber out of milkweed. So in 1921, George Washington Carver accepted an invitation to address the U.S. Senate. Now, why am I saying all of this? Because your supernatural performance is supposed to create a platform sufficient for you to offer your opinion about God. See, folks, quite frankly, I'm a little fed up. Can I come on with this? Jesus said something about his ministry. Now, we are a continuation of his ministry. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. Now, wait a minute, what is he saying? He is saying that I've got proof that what I'm preaching is true. He can either demonstrate it or he got people that testify. And I think it's been too much preaching. Come on, can I say the other part of this? See, because there are people that are eloquent in speech. And folk flock and so forth, but there's no fruit on the tree. And see, the world kind of, they looking for some fruit, Jack. I mean, they especially if you're going to draw a big fish. You know what a big fish is? One of them billionaires. If you're going to draw a big fish, you better put some fruit on that tree. They better see that God is with you. When we first got this mall, and things were just happening and miracles after another, and one of the lawyers up there for the village, and they were talking, and the administration is not there that was there then. But the word got back to me and said, hey, the lawyer, the counsel from downtown said that they were asking, said, well, who's with him? And somebody said, nobody. She said, no, somebody's with him. See, I got something under the hood. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, they're supposed to see your life. They're supposed to see something that's with you, that God is with you. And it creates a platform so that you won't have to labor hard, sweat, trying to get somebody saved. You just show them the evidence, and they want to get what you got because... Are you following what I'm saying? Now, this is my opinion. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, here's Carver. So he goes before the Ways and Means Committee. Now, they gave him 10 minutes to speak. And once they gave him 10 minutes to speak, he starts speaking with such a profoundness until... The chairman said, go ahead, brother, your time is unlimited. And Carver then began to speak for 1 hour and 45 minutes. And after he finished, it had confounded them so. He said this, they said, where did you learn all these things? And he said, from an old book. They said, what book? They asked the senator. He said, the Bible. Watch this. And this is what the senator replied. Does the Bible say anything about a peanut? He said, no, sir. He said, but it does tell you about the God who made the peanut. See? He said, I asked him to show me about the peanut, and he did. He said, no books ever go into my laboratory. No textbooks. Why? They're below that. Now, I'm not saying people are not to go get to school and get an education, but only one that can educate you on this level is the Holy Ghost, man. And the thing of it is, the situation is that people are still trying to qualify themselves. They're still trying to say, well, I didn't finish this, or I didn't finish that. Well, look at Gideon. The first thing the angel did is he said, hey, Gideon, see, God is not dealing with you based on where you are. He's dealing with you based on his plan. And said, hey, Gideon, look here. He said, you know, you're a mighty man of valor. Gideon said, who, me? Right there, he began to disqualify himself. He said, wait a minute, you don't know. Now, my family is one of the poorest families in the tribe. That's just like saying, I come from West Side. No, I come, no, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay. Okay. All right. but you follow what I'm saying. I'm saying it's kind of like this qualifies yourself in a poor neighborhood or whatever have you. And then he said this. He said, and I don't have much education. I don't learn. I'm the least among my own brethren. He said, I have least education, whatever have you. It didn't make any difference. God had a plan. He has a pre-programmed plan for your life. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? And his plan includes you living on earth like you were in heaven. God has no plan for you to be poor. I said, God has no plan for you to be poor. See, now that's going to make some folk mad. Well, he wanted them prosperity preachers. Yeah! You better get over it. No. Every child of his, he's no respecter of persons. You are the seed of who? Abraham. Just like he blessed Abraham, he's going to bless you. He blessed Abraham and made him very rich in cattle, in silver, and gold. There wasn't some cows there with mad cow disease. And these were pedigree stock, folks. This gold was the gold of Ophir. This was the finest gold there was. See, Canaan not only represents your rest, but it represents his best. God has the best. Now listen, I don't care whether you accept this or not. I'm preaching about heaven. I am not preaching about the standards that you have heard and you have lived under. I'm gonna preach something that's over your head, so you gonna jump up and say, hallelujah, it's mine, I'll take it if you please. All I got to do is preach it, but it hasn't been preached because people are looking on people's faces and don't want to be numbered with these folk or be labeled as this kind of preacher. I don't care. I found out in the scriptures they gonna hate you if you do right. They gonna hate you if you do wrong. I may as well do right. I'm gonna preach this thing till Jesus comes back. This is your time. You're not gonna miss it. God's gonna give you something good. So you can just say how good God is, but that's true, but you can bless some other people. God told me this morning, he said, son, when are you going to stop accumulating all them suits? He said, give half them things. Give them things away. I said, Lord, have mercy. And then I came to first service. I said, maybe I ought to pull up. No, I just got this. I said, oh, no, praise God. I said, the world. The world has got an airline that's telling you to go to the bathroom before you take your flight because they're trying to lighten the load to save fuel. Not in the kingdom. Not in the kingdom. Come on with your bathroom self. Come on, get on here just like this here and take a squat. I'm telling you, help yourself. There is no scarcity in the kingdom. That's why we need to own the airlines. Because we'll show them how good God is. Sit down. Let me finish this. I'm out of time here. Let me just finish this. I made a statement, and I'm taking it back publicly. I made a statement. I said this. God, he said, I said, God didn't send his word or his spirit to make you comfortable. He sent him to make you conformable. Wrong. Sent it to make you comfortable. Now, I know you can do some things with that, but I just want you to get over not get over the fact that, wait a minute, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He's supposed to take all the sweat out of your life. Say amen to this. Now, let's look at this. And when we look at it now, listen, I'm not looking for you to appreciate what I'm saying, because many times our minds have been affected by something other than the Spirit of God. So now when this message first comes over, you look at it, well, I don't know, Reverend. I know, so I'm going to preach it. And if you receive it, now listen, don't be trying to take it and bring it down to where you can reasonably receive it. Leave it where it is. It's not meant to make sense. It's meant to make faith. You had Moses, and God said, Moses, I'm going to send you down there to take Israel out of there and set them free. What did Moses do? I can't talk. He said, Moses, who made your mouth? That tells me that that endowment that's coming on you is not only intellectual, but it's practical. It's going to even help you speak. You better hear what I'm saying to you. We're reading this, but for some reason somebody's bringing it back down. Let's leave it up there where it's supposed to be. Because we're going back to Eden and live on top of the world. All right, let's just finish this. He said, in my Father's house are many what? Did he say, in my Father's house are many trailer homes? What did he say? I'm just reading the Bible. See, what happens is we try to change this thing. But I don't want you to change. I want you to leave it right where it is. Say amen to this. God knew what kind of potential was in Moses. He knew what kind of potential was in Gideon. And he knows what kind of potential is in you. Say amen to this. I hear you, Doc. He got it. Can you hear that? Whenever you hear a cry like that, he got it. Now, here's the deal. Let me just find my last little note here. Praise the Lord. This breakthrough thinking that I'm talking about now. We got to break through some old things and thoughts and so forth that were not from God at all. These were things that were given to us by a demonic world and Satan trying to deceive us out of what belongs to us. Now, let me just go to the last part. You with me? Yes. Now, we've heard the expression, the best is yet to come. Matter of fact, we sing the songs, don't we? Well, it ain't yet to come. It's right here, right now. It don't need to come. It's right here. Now, look what he said in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach what? Acceptable year of the Lord. Now, that acceptable year of the Lord, if you look it up in the Amplified Translation, chapter 4 and verse 18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord, Amplified, says, Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach good news to the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when the salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. All right? The day when the free favors of God profusely abound. Now, I had to look the word up, profuse, because I don't want to make sure, I want to make sure I understand what that means. Now, in general, it says this in the definition. Profusely has to do with lavish. It has to do with liberal to excess. It has to do with extravagant. It has to do with over and abounding. Jesus said, I am come that you might have what? Life. And you might have it how? More abundantly. Now, what is happening here is that there is a transfer that's taking place now in this end time. Because if you didn't know it, the financial preaching of the gospel is an end time gospel. It's what's got to be preached before Jesus returns. Now, what am I saying? That the church is sent to dominate the earth. That wherever he sends you, he expects you to rule it. Now, realize that God has given the whole earth over to his children. And I went through that last time where the man of God came here and preached, and he asked God, said, God, now, who does this earth belong to? He said, who did I give it to? That you gave it to Adam. Say, who was Adam? Say, he's your son. He said, who has it now? He said, a sinner. He said, he is not my son. He said, strip him. Now, I'm not saying that we go out and say, my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you give me and try to take something. That's not the idea. We transfer it by faith. Glory to God. But what God has got to do is he's got to get you beyond. Woo-wee. I don't even know shall I go into this. God has got to get you beyond what you think is reasonable. In other words, if something is extravagant, if something is big that he tells you to do, don't be trying to bring it down to a place where you can earn it by working for a living. Because everything that's in this earth that has that any, oh, Lord, it all belongs to you. The whole estate belongs, oh, Lord, can I talk to you? Turn to one more place and I'm done. Turn to Galatians, please. And Galatians chapter, boy, I'm telling you, I can tell I'm pushing this out because I can feel the push back on it. But that's all right, I'm going to push it out anyway because somebody going to listen to the tape and they're going to get blessed with it. Are you with me? Look what it says here in Galatians chapter 4, and verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differs nothing from a servant or a slave, though he be Lord of all. Now the heir is us. We are joint heirs with who? Christ. Look what it says. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Now what I mean is this. This is Paul talking with Revelation. As long as the inheritor, the heir, is a child and underage, he does not differ from a slave, although he is master of all the estate. That we are masters of this entire estate. Over in Proverbs chapter 13, he said, the wealth of the sinner, come on, is laid up for the just. And I'm saying that this has been laying there, and even when God tells us to do something, we look at it and we begin to bring the cost of this thing down till we can reasonably figure out how we can work for it, how we can get enough people together, how many, leave it alone. Receive it on the level that he gave it to you. Lord, have mercy. Is this making sense to you? I'm saying that God is lavish. God is extravagant. He is making your desire for good, nice things didn't come from you. It is the nature of God. Look around the throne of God. Ain't nothing cheap around there. There is gold. There are diamonds. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying it's time for heaven to come to earth. When people, oh Lord Jesus, is this too much for you? Am I going too far? Now, for you to receive it, you cannot appeal to your senses, because senses always bring human limitations, and you must go beyond your human limitations. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm saying God wants to take the credit for this. He doesn't want you to take the credit for it. He doesn't want to give you anything in the natural that you can hold on to that you can say, I did that. God wants to take you past anything that you can do. So he gives you a scripture. And it comes out of Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, just believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Did it say feel like you receive them? Come on. Did it say know that you receive them? Did it say see that you receive them? What did it say for you to do? Believe. And believing is a choice. I am making a choice to believe for this building. I am... I done lost y'all now. Y'all lost y'all now. I'm not saying believe for it to pay it on time, because that ain't heaven. I'm saying believe for it debt free. Now, you don't know how God's going to do this, but he did say you own the whole estate. Now, I don't need to try to figure out how this is going to happen. The only thing I know is that he promised it. And I don't have to work three jobs to try to get enough money to get it, because it's by grace am I saved through faith, and that not of myself. It's a gift of God. Now, come out of that looking at your savings account. He can do it without your savings account. See, I'm taking y'all somewhere. I told you I'm going to take you up there. Come on, we're going to put heaven down here. These trailer homes got to go. We're going to put some mansions down here, and we're going to show the world what God really is like and that God is good. I'm going to quit right now. No, because y'all looking mad. I see a couple people. See, I'm forcing something out. See, all of this is a heart thing, not a head thing. You can't appeal to your head. When he told Abram he's going to make him a father of many nations, Abraham was 99 years old, past the age of childbearing. His wife had never had a child. But the Bible says he was strong in faith. Watch this, giving glory to God. Now, I'm training you for reigning now, because you might go into a neighborhood and you might have to take a few buildings. Might have to take them back for the kingdom. Say amen to that. You know, I looked at those things, some of those things that are out there that are ours. And I noticed that that donkey stayed tied up till Jesus called for him. And your stuff is staying tied up until you call for it. the best. The farms, the property, the airplanes, the boats, the gold mines, the oil fields, the houses, the real estate, the jobs, the positions, the businesses, the equipment, the TV equipment. It is not the songs, everything, the clothes. Now, what did he tell him? What did he tell him? Joshua and Caleb said this, let us go up at once and possess it. Watch this. Come on, come on. For we are well able. It's all yours. Give the Lord a hand. That's all I've got. Meditation is a law. It is a law. It'll produce for you every time. Now, this is a piece that I think in training that the church has missed, because they've taken the word just as it is. And they've gone home, written notes and so forth, and didn't look at them notes anymore till 2013. You know what I mean? Are you following what I'm saying? Don't look at those notes anymore. Don't try to meditate the whole chapter. Just get one verse. What brought that in? My same one that brought the first one in. A bird of the air shall carry my voice. That was brought to me as a seed from a man from Africa who stood up in the pulpit one Wednesday night, and as he was preaching, backed off and said, Pastor, your airplane is in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and went back to preaching. Well, somebody that doesn't understand how the kingdom works would thought he was just making fun. I began to read Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I read it once, didn't see my airplane. Read it again, didn't see it. Read it again, didn't see it. But soon the eyes of my understanding. Got it? And there it was. And it's been producing ever since. Can I ask you, did you get something out of the Word of God today?